It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
I started. I started low on purpose because Brennan took his punk ass earphones off. It was like, oh, they're
gonna be too loud,
and then I had to ramp it up on his ass when he put them back on.
Gave him the fake out.
That was some asshole shit. Okay.
Welcome to another episode of Animation. I'm your host, Keenan Baker. We got Brennan back in the house.
What up?
We got Rob here.
Hey, everybody.
I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize for being missed for the last two episodes of...
were you missed?
For Kill la Kill, wasn't it?
I mean, you weren't here, but...
Yeah, yeah, no, I had originally planned to be here.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? So, like, I started it. I wanted to finish
it. So you apologized for missing, not for being missed.
I apologize for missing.
Okay.
No, he knew what he meant the first time. Brennan's a very smart dude.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No ice this week. He'll be back next week, but you know, we all good. We gonna hold it down.
I'm excited.
Yeah, this is
I'm excited.
We're starting a new anime this week after we finished up Kill la Kill, the incest anime. What that was,
Incest Fest.
Hey man, let's move forward.
And now we're on to this week. We're starting our Trigun, man.
Yeah. Woo, Trigun.
Yeah. First six episodes of Trigun. I heard a lot of hype about this too, man. A lot of these animes are hyped up, and
it's a classic. I mean, it's definitely an older one. I mean, even just looking at it, it reminds me a lot of Yu Yu Hakusho, just because it's got that older, gritty style of animation.
Right.
This for me is some of my most fond memories of anime in general, because you know, this is how I got started. This is one of the first anime I ever saw was Dragon Ball Z. This might be the second.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, okay, guys. I did some nerding. You guys ready?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
gosh.
All right. Later. All
right. Oh, bro, you see the glass.
Yeah.
I'm here for this. So, you guys know, and I think we should honestly do a whole episode on this, but I'm just going to glance over it. Toonami.
Yep.
Oh, of course.
And the importance of Toonami
in
anime and American culture cannot be understated.
For sure.
Now, Toonami started in March 17th, 1997.
Mm-hmm.
One of the initial shows that started with was Trigun. And so I started watching around that exact same time, because at that time I was 10 years old. Actually, I had just turned 10 years old.
Formative age.
Yeah. So I just started watching anime right around that time. And I remember getting involved with Trigun. And I think it says a lot that this is one of the foundational blocks of the time that the creators of Toonami said, we've been watching this anime. This is one of the shows that needs to be on here. This is one of the shows that can help transition American audience to be able to relate to Japanese animation and storytelling.
Mm. Makes sense, too, because it's an Old West thing, you know, which is kind of a very American sort of feel. There's a lot of overlap between samurai culture and, you know, cowboy culture. Mm. I think, you know, you see that with the Seven Samurai versus the Magnificent Seven.
Yep.
You know, it's very similar. There's a lot of overlap there.
I feel like they stereotyped this as Americans. It was like, they'll love this.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
With this
I mean, but they were right, though.
They were.
Yeah.
They were definitely right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, another thought I had was that the writer of the screenplay, not the guy who wrote the manga, mm-hmm. can never say that word, is a guy named Yusuke Kuroda. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I'm bringing this guy up is because, you know, I always like to look back and see, like, who worked on this that worked on other stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy also did another show that I liked. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it before, Gundam Zero, Double Zero, Double O.
I don't think I've seen that one. I've seen, like, bits and pieces of Gundam
stuff. Yeah, it's not for everybody, but I really enjoyed it because it's kind of like a post-apocalyptic United States or world, pretty much, that is just like, hey, we destroy the environment as humans, and this
relatable.
Is how we deal with it. And there's a Gundam, so it's kind of relatable to like
not
our
a
current
Gundam
stuff.
Guy.
You know, Gundam is for not for everybody. I completely understand that.
Okay, yeah,
completely understand that. And also, the director was really hard to find information on, because normally I could find all the information. Normally, the directors of most of the anime we watch, there's a whole Wikipedia page for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Satoshi Nishimura. I can't say his name.
Sounds
I'm sorry,
good to
brother.
Me. Yeah,
yeah.
Good
thank
enough.
You.
Yeah.
He is a little eclectic with his history of the things he's worked on. As a director, nothing I had ever seen before. So he had actually directed a lot of things. But even more interestingly enough, he actually worked on the original Dragon Ball.
Oh, dope.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he was like in the animation department, like storyboarding.
Mm.
And the same thing with Hunter x Hunter. So this guy...
Classics
under his belt.
Yeah,
two of
yeah.
some of the best anime ever made.
Mm-hmm.
That came before this one.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm like, all right, this guy knew how to make, was around greatness as it was being made, and then he came into this and was like, I now can direct something like Trigun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting show. Like as you were saying, Brendan, that it sort of has that overlap with some American culture, which makes sense that it would be one of the first ones they would launch here if they were going to bring something over. Because Dragon Ball is a little off the wall. You know, it's like a Chinese myth told through a Japanese storytelling. So this is feels some like it's something that'd be a little bit safer with American audiences.
Yeah. Mm.
So that makes sense that Toonami would start off with something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, it was a great transition. And for me, I just, you know, it was bright colors, action, guns. And
silliness.
I
like
that it was exactly
silly. It's very silly.
Yeah.
It
very
doesn't
silly.
Take itself seriously until it does.
So for me, this is my first go around with it. So me being older, and when Rob starts it off, you know, I'll give my opinions throughout. But let's kick it off. I'll give you my opinions when we start going through it, man.
Yeah, sure. I actually had one last bit of trivia, and I'm trying to I was trying to confirm it with my internet before I said it, but I'm pretty sure the guy who does the voice of Vash on the American version is actually the guy that played Adam, the second Black Ranger on Power Rangers.
Hey.
Yeah, but I was telling you, remember he played a Power Ranger.
Yeah, you did tell me that. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I was like, yo, this guy's voice sounds familiar. This whole time I was like, who the hell? But I feel like he does other animations too, a bunch of other ones.
I was reading that this was the first one he did, and he's done more since then. I think his name is Johnny Young Bosch. But he was the guy that he was the second Black Ranger. So the one that was in the first movie. I don't know. We'll just jump into the story. It starts right off in the Old West, you know, in a saloon. Some guys drinking at a bar. You got one dude sitting at the counter sipping a glass of whiskey, a couple other dudes playing cards over by the side, you know, just very Old West sort of feel. And they're talking about this dude, Vash the Stampede, who's this wanted man. He's got this ridiculous price on his head, $60 billion
double dollars. I don't even know what that means.
I know, right? I'm just like, damn, they want like his ass real bad.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot.
Yo, who has $60 billion to put up? I think that's a false.
The government. The government. Who else is gonna put it up? Government.
There's got to be something going on.
Yo, tell me this is not a futuristic society that's like honestly kind of sort of post-apocalyptic, which means that inflation has incurred for, let's say, another 1,000 years. Now the dollars are so worthless that they're double dollars, and $60 billion might be $60 million to us now.
You went real deep.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they bring some other stuff in that hints that this is a world sort of built on top of another world.
Very much so. Like, especially with the last episode that we saw.
Yeah. So to continue that, these guys are talking about Vash the Stampede has been seen around, and this guy over at the bar, they don't confirm it quite yet, but this is Vash. He's the guy in the red coat, you know, the hair standing up on end. He's on the poster, so you know that this is probably the dude they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And he's just quietly, you know, listening to what these guys have to say, not really bringing it up, but you know they're talking about he's the humanoid typhoon, as they call it. Everywhere he goes, he just destruction follows
and everything.
He's a dangerous man, but everybody, of course, with a price like $60 billion double dollars on his head, everybody's going to try to take their shot. You know, this is like the number two headband from Afro Samurai.
You know,
everybody wants to take their shot at him.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, Afro Samurai. Please continue. I'm sorry.
So while they're having this conversation, the barkeep goes out front just to like throw out some trash and like get spooked by something, and the two guys turn around and pull their guns. Dude at the counter, Vash, is just keeping it cool until literally the fucking roof comes off the building. Like, just gets blown away. There's a whole posse out front of all these dudes with all their guns drawn. This huge guy with a fucking green mohawk standing behind him, and he's just like, light it up. And they just unload on the fucking building.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, anybody else in there would be dead, but as the destruction of the building falls, Vash, he's cool as a cucumber. You know, some sign blocks him from all the bullets, and they think he's gone, but the sign falls, he's there safe, and he pulls out his gun, and we cut right to the intro.
Yeah.
We just got this, you know, kind of heavy metal. This was a very Dragon Ball Z-esque sort of song, you know?
Yeah.
But from there, they cut to these two girls, Millie and Meryl, who are going through this town, which has been destroyed by Vash the Stampede, so they say. And they hear that he's been in the area, so they're going around looking for him because they're from this insurance company.
Yeah, and I just like to point out that when they come into the show, did anybody else notice what they were riding?
No, I didn't. They're
writing like is it like anteaters or some shit?
Chocobos.
Chocobos.
Is that what that was? I noticed, I saw later on it was like some weird sort of creature.
Yeah.
But I was, which made me think this is a very anime sort of thing. They're not riding horses.
Yeah.
They're riding some like strange thing with a mask on it. You know what I mean?
That was right. An anteater. Okay.
No, I mean, I don't know what they are, chocobos or not, but this is during the time of Final Fantasy's greatest years. Final Fantasy VII came out when? It's like around like 98, 99 or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying it's like this is around the time that Final Fantasy's really in people's worlds in their mind.
Sure.
And these people are riding like, you know, upright bird-like creatures that have two legs that are furry and have no personalities.
Yeah, there's definitely got to be some overlap.
Chocobos.
There.
Yeah.
So they're running around looking for this dude, and I think they end up talking to a barkeep who's just saying, I don't think you want to find Vash, but if you're really looking for him, you know, it's this giant dude wearing a red coat. you know, he's this, like, the worst womanizer that anybody's ever met.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to stay away from this guy.
Yeah.
So they get that description. Meanwhile, there's a bounty hunter talking to the sheriff who's just like, yeah, our place, our whole town just got fucking lit up by Vash.
Yeah.
If you can bring him in, great. But everything we've heard about him, he's like 12 feet tall. He's this huge dude with these little legs, which, you know, after having seen Vash in the opening, this doesn't really describe him at all.
Yeah, at all, yeah.
But this kind of comes up later because they get the description, and these parties all head out of town looking for Vash. Meanwhile, we see the posse that was out front of the bar in the opening. They lost him. Turns out the guy's gun wasn't loaded when he pulled it, and he booked it. And they're just like, all right, well, that was Vash. That we want the bounty, so we got to split up and find this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they split up, and one of the henchmen, not the giant dude with the mohawk in the metal arms, he comes around a corner and just sees a little straw sticking out of the sand. And he trips over it, and it's Vash using it as like some sort of snorkel.
How the fuck you trip over a straw? This is
right. How do you do that?
It's ridiculous.
You know, I'm just gonna take a little quick side note and say that Rob's memory of these episodes, he's not reading anything, guys. Like, he's literally this is right off the top of his head.
You don't understand. It's been for a few months now. He's done this. I'm like, this guy is incredible with
this. Yeah, he's like a savant. Like, he's over here just like, yeah. Like, how do you do? You have a photographic memory almost.
I remember some images, you know, but I watch him, and then, you know, I do usually the day of the episode, I'll read a little recap just to refresh. You know,
this is better than a recap. Give like descriptive shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah. I would just watch the episode. My brain is not taking in all that all at once.
Yeah, I didn't mean to detract. I'm just
trying to set points, the scene. Bro. I want to bring you there.
Yeah. No, I'm here. Yeah. Please continue. Take me there.
So Vash is flipping out, and he's running away from these dudes. He doesn't seem to be the dangerous man that everybody's saying he is.
No,
he's kind of a little spaz.
Yeah.
He's a little spazzy.
He seems like he's just like what's the word? Clumsy, a klutz.
Yeah.
One thing that threw me off too, because when I first heard his voice, I was just like, this is the voice they chose for the main character. He sounds kind of like a little bit teenagerish, childish, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, so we can get into this debate now if you want or not about him being clumsy or whatever, but I feel like it comes better in a
minute. I would agree with that.
Yeah, and I feel like,
let's just continue.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So that happens, big guy, boomerang of death.
Right.
Yeah.
So this guy's chasing down Vash, and he doesn't have any bullets left. He's out of bullets, so he can't really defend himself, but the guy pulls a gun on him, and they have a standoff. And as they're standing off, this giant fucking boomerang comes out of nowhere and like basically cuts this rock in half and takes out the henchman. Vash dodges it.
Yeah,
of course. Manages to not get hit by it. And he sees the giant dude standing on the other side of it and saying, damn, like, you'll take out your own dudes just to get at me. Like, holy shit. Like, all right. Like,
this guy's weapon's incredible.
Yeah,
like, when I first saw it, I was like, this is actually a dope weapon to give somebody.
It's a great intro because it's like, what kind of action we're going to see in the show?
Yeah.
This guy has, I'd say, how big would you say, like 20 feet wide?
He's huge.
No, I'm saying not him, the boomerang.
The boomerang?
Even
is,
that, yeah.
Yeah, the boomerang is 20, 25 feet wide, and he throws it, and it literally cuts through solid rock.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not there.
It doesn't show like it's even razor thin, like, you know, sharp or nothing
like
that.
It's just like, this is straight adamantium boomerang that just goes through everything. And also, after it hits solid rock and goes through it, comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Vash says, all right, cool. Everybody chill. Like, I'll give up. Just please do not kill me with that fucking thing.
Right.
Still playing, pretty. He's playing it low key. While this is all going on, they're debating what to do with him. The two insurance ladies, Millie and Merrill, show up, and they see this dude standing there, exactly described as the by the barkeep, but it's not the Vash that we know it is. It's the dude with the giant metal arm and fucking boomerang that cuts through rocks like butter.
The green mohawk guy.
So they're saying, "Hey, Vash, we're here from this insurance company. We have this peace offering for you." They offer him some donuts. traditional pre-fight donuts, as the Ninja Turtles would call them.
Yeah.
And while they're working that out, and that guy's confused as hell, going like, "What are you talking about? Like, why? I'm not Vash. What are you looking for?" That bounty hunter shows up at the same time and just says, "Hey, I'm looking for Vash." He got the same description of the dude with the mohawk. Mm. And then while they're having that argument, the dude with the mohawk thinks maybe this bounty hunter is Vash after all. There's a whole bunch of confusion going on until it builds to a crescendo and shots start getting fired.
Yeah, I was also part of the confusion.
Yeah.
When I was watching this for the first time, I was like,
at this point, right?
Like, yeah, I'm like, all right, what's going on here? I know. I feel like it's the guy that I know it is.
Side note, the guy that stood on top of the rock has the coolest alternating gun ever that flipped over every time he took a shot.
Yeah, that was dope. Pretty cool. That's dope
as hell.
I thought
that was really cool.
They had a lot of dope guns in this show.
All right. And so to progress the story a little bit further, they do have a lot of dope guns in this show. Progress the story a little bit further. They get into this fight.
Yeah.
And then from there, it just like ends up nobody dies.
No.
It seems to be a reoccurring thing that we'll get back to. nobody dies when he's there, and like Bash destroys the guy. Go ahead.
Because they run originally.
Yeah, they run.
The two women run. Bash also runs.
Eating
they
the
capture
donuts.
The women.
Yeah,
and they tell him like, "Hey, we better go back because this is our job, to talk to this guy."
Yeah.
"Hey, dude, that was just tied up. Here's $10. Go warn the town that Vash is in the area. Get the fuck out of here."
Yeah.
So when they head back, that's when they capture the women, because while they're gone, they basically bury the hatchet and say, "All right, you're not Vash. I'm not Vash. That is definitely Vash that just ran.
Yeah.
Let's go get him."
Yep.
And while they're doing that, they show up with more donuts and are just like, "Hey, sorry about running away and all that. Maybe, so they are just like, "All right, well, let's capture these women and maybe that'll bring him back around."
And they capture him, they tie him up, and then the guy with the boomerang creepily molests one of the women.
It wouldn't be anime without some of that shit.
Gotta have the sexism. You gotta just sprinkle it on.
You gotta have the weird shit.
But yeah, either way, Vash comes back, and this is where we can start talking about the clumsy thing.
Yeah.
Because he, as you can describe it, clumsily stumbles his way through taking a bullet that cuts both of their ropes.
Yep.
Unties them. And at the same time, also hits the only switch on the side of the guy that's like throwing the boomerang.
Yep.
That pretty much looks like almost ends his life.
It like totally incapacitates him.
Totally incapacitated because he has like this mechanical arm thing that allows him to throw this boomerang that's super heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so like however that thing works is like you see like there's like pulleys and bands and all that kind of stuff happening.
Yeah.
So he hits the screw on the outside of it. It just like it looks like it reverses back onto him, and it's like all the torque from it like torques his body. And he just falls into a lump of pain.
Yeah.
And pretty much the other guy gets hit by the boomerang.
Yeah.
He
carves off some more rock that the dude is standing on.
Yeah. So it's like pretty much everybody gets taken out by one inconvenient circumstance that all seems like an accident.
Yeah.
From Vash, the Stampede. Like while he's just like, screaming and like rolling around while the whole thing's happening, seeming like an innocent bystander that luckily avoids bullets. Boomerangs.
Yep.
And happens to touch the right things at the right moment.
I mean, when you hear the voice on top of all that, the silliness that he's doing it in, that's what makes it seem like it's an accident. Well, of course, when we progress, I know it's not now, but when I'm watching this, I was like, this guy is accidentally doing all this shit. And I'm low key getting a little bit bored of the show.
Already.
First episode or two.
I thought that first episode was fire. And I mean, but at the same time, I've already seen all of this. So for me, watching it with like fresh eyes and saying, okay, I do know who Vash Stampede is.
Right.
And I also know that this is not mistakes. Like he's doing this on purpose.
Gotcha.
It's like they actually do show you, like if you're really looking for it, how skillful he's being in the first few episodes of like avoiding it. And you don't know how skillful he's being until you learn out later on that he is Vash and whatever. But episode two.
So yeah, that ends episode one. The girls and Vash head separate ways because they think, well, we still don't know who Vash is because that idiot that just tripped his way through that whole encounter can't possibly be the guy that's wanted for $60 billion double dollars or
double
whatever.
Dollars.
Well, it's really Meryl Streep, who I keep thinking is Meryl Streep.
Yeah,
Millie's on it though. Millie's like, that's him
that's
from
him.
Day one.
From day one, she's like, that's the description we got. That's him. Meryl's like there's no way this fucking idiot
yep.
is Vash. There's no way he can be.
But I would still, if I was her, I'd still be doubtful after the first episode.
Sure.
I say that.
Sure. So the next episode starts. There's a little, you know, each episode has its own little vignette, cold open.
Wait. Can I remember this? Let me try to be Rob. Okay. Outside, dark, night. Old man with a gun, cursing, shooting, hits somebody with a bullet, curses himself, says, I have to fix this, turns around, walks out.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, there you go.
I wrote it down, that's why.
Oh, okay.
People can't see. Man, he has it on his iPad.
Yes, I do.
So they come back, and it's Millie and Merrill walking into this town. They're thirsty as hell. They haven't had water in who knows how long.
The thirst.
So they're coming into town. They find this well. They think, oh, finally, we can get a drink. They pull up the bucket. It's bone dry. There's a hole in the bucket. There's hilarious. Nothing.
There's rocks in the bucket.
It's terrible. Yeah. So they lay back, resigning themselves to death when they hear from some people passing by that Vash the Stampede is coming to town and he's staying in this mansion nearby.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they get excited about that because they got to go find this guy anyway. So they head to the mansion, knock on the door, and, well, Vash does open the door, but they don't think it's him.
And they give him water.
And he gives him water right away. And they ask him, what are you doing here? And he says, oh, I'm a bodyguard. And he introduces him to this old man, the one we saw from the beginning, and says, yeah, I hired this guy to be my bodyguard. Why don't you come in and we'll talk about it?
The guy that hired him is like a cartoon character of a cartoon character.
Yeah, he's like the Monopoly man without the monopoly.
Yes, yeah. He absolutely.
His mustache is trash.
I liked him, though. I thought he was kind of funny in the beginning.
No, he was. Yeah, he was.
He definitely had some strategy, for sure, which he gets into now, because these two ladies are saying, you think that's Vash the Stampede? That's your bodyguard right now? Like, we just met this guy a few days ago, and he's an idiot.
Yeah.
But he is not Vash the Stampede. And he goes, I know.
Only Meryl says that. Millie over there quiet like, yeah, that's what she thinks.
That's what this is. I know. I got my reserves about it, but this, all right.
I'd like to take a side note for Millie. We breezed over it in the first episode. The introduction to Millie was ridiculous. The women walk into a bar, a bunch of dudes in there, they're looking cranky and weird.
Yeah.
And like they start like starting to harass them, and she, quote unquote, I'm doing quote fingers now, drops a full Gatling gun out of her coat onto a table that hits the guy who was talking the most shit in the chin, nearly knocks him unconscious, and then says, oops, picks it up, throws it on his shoulder, and kind of just looks.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, okay, cool, we good. These girls ain't no joke, we good.
I was expecting to see more of her episode one get gangster with it when that thing dropped out.
She does what she needs to do with that thing, though.
Oh, she does?
All right.
And she's about 6'3", too.
Yeah, she's not a small person. She's not a small person.
With her shoulders.
But she's still not like, she's still very feminine. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't know. Millie could be in the Expendables, you know what I mean? She's got the fucking minigun. She's huge.
Yeah.
All right, so back to the girls. Millie and Meryl get into this place, and they're talking to him, and he's saying, they're trying to convince him. She literally pulls him aside and is like, this is not Vash the Stampede.
Yeah,
he's
this guy is scamming you.
But before that, she pulls him aside. He goes on to describe why he hires Vash the Stampede. Mm-hmm. And he says, I wanted Vash the Stampede because I want to protect this, not only like what I have going on, but protect like this woman who's staying here. She's a high profile individual. I need to make sure she's protected. People are after her. So I'm doing that to protect her. And then she pulls him aside, does a thing.
And tells him, this isn't Vash the Stampede. And he says, oh, I know. I absolutely know that. Yes. I'm telling people that so that they'll be scared and leave me the hell alone.
Yeah.
And
side note, another funny thing that I found really funny is when he's describing this woman and this whole thing, he does this whole description thing. And then there's like a half circle like curtain that's like right in the middle of the room almost, like against the wall the whole time. That's literally like a foot away from them while they're talking. It's just like a velvet curtain. And he's like talking about her, and then just literally pulls a string, and then she's standing there the whole time.
She's been standing back there just like waiting for the big reveal.
She's literally been standing there. It was like a long conversation.
Yeah.
It was
that was her
funny
intro. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was pretty funny.
Meanwhile, Vash like gets the whole like cartoon heart eyes, and I'm just like, I don't know, Vash, this lady's got like a five head going on, you know,
right. I don't know. He's been in the desert, man. You got to give him credit. Yeah. He's just trying to get
fair
well,
enough. Yeah,
moisture. So is that the truth, though? Because he had two women in front of him in the first episode and didn't give a fuck about them.
He really didn't. But they, you know, they're different. They're not like these. Like, the thing is, like, they're very like, we carry guns, we're here for insurance, we're serious about work. And she's over here like, I spent all day making myself pretty.
She's dolled up, busty, and all
that
stuff.
He likes the dolled up, busty women.
Butterface to me, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, but either way, another funny thing is that like after she when she pulls him aside to talk about like how Vash ain't shit, Like, she pulls him into the same half-circle curtain that's in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
So everybody hears everything everybody's saying, and they make it blatantly obvious. So Vash's in there listening to her just badmouth him.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and then they pull out, you know, they pull out of the space, and they're just like, yeah, he already admits that, like, he knows it. And at that point, Vash is just like, yes, I am Vash the Stampede, because I am here to protect. And he's like, obviously, he's playing a caricature of Vash of himself, I guess.
Pretty much.
Which is kind of fun.
He's playing up the idea of what people think he is, you know?
Yeah.
And the two ladies are just like, all right, well, we know this guy is incapable of nothing, which they're wrong, but we could be your bodyguards. And he says, okay, cool. And then he immediately gives them a job and puts them in the kitchen.
Yeah. Yep. Sexism.
Sexism at its finest.
Pretty funny, though. So while that's going on, and then they're washing, Vash decides to creep on his woman that he liked.
Like Spider-Man.
Straight up, literally got onto the roof, tied a rope around his waist, jumped off the side to be able to look into her window to find out that she was not there. But Millie was there looking for her.
Yes. And so she says, oh, hey, what are you doing out there, Vash, hanging from the ceiling? He's like,
looking for bad guys.
I thought I saw some dudes hanging out.
No, spooks. He said he saw spooks.
That's right.
Yeah, that came back later.
So he says he's looking for spooks. What do they get? They get called down for dinner, basically.
Yeah.
And they all go down. They're having this very awkward sort of dinner because girl is very clearly
not liking this guy.
Yeah. No. She's not, yeah.
No.
By this guy, we mean like the Monopoly man.
Yeah. Old man.
Yeah. She did not like him. He's giving them the tutorial like how he got his money. He has an extravagant mansion in a town surrounded by literal just like devastated desert of death.
Yeah.
People are just starving and like being like killed outside of
his
place.
And they got no water.
They got no water.
Huge problem.
They're dying of thirst all around. And this guy has monopolized all of the water resources in the area.
Mad Max type shit.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's totally true.
Yep.
Straight up Mad Max.
And his ward there, the girl, kind of loses her patience at the table while he's describing this thing. Like, you're hoarding a natural resource.
Yeah.
People are dying and you're doing nothing about it.
He's like, well, if I gave it to them, then they would just drink it all up and then we wouldn't have any more. Like, somebody has to protect the integrity of having this kind of water.
And that's low-key what's kind of happening now with water. They're trying to monopolize it a little bit.
Yeah.
They even you can't even collect rainwater anymore.
No.
Without this shit. And they come collect that shit from you. Yeah, you got these rain barrels? We ain't having that. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So the
dinner ends awkwardly. Everybody kind of goes to their rooms, goes their separate ways. Vash tries to creep on this girl again and
she has a dark little secret. Like,
yeah.
While she's up in the room before Vash can get in there, she's changing her clothes, but before she gets too far, we see that she's got a bandage on her shoulder where we saw the person in the intro get shot.
Yeah.
And
she also opens up a drawer and we see a gun in there. We're just like, oh, maybe things aren't as all as they seem.
She's not as cute as she was. Maybe
she's still cute. But she's just not as, you know, like,
I mean, I don't prefer my women to have bullet holes.
I think that
shows how tough she is. She can go get through anything.
Noted. Any women with bullet holes, Keenan is about that life.
Hand raises.
So Vash creeps in and he's trying to woo her. He's trying to impress her.
And of course he is.
You know, just saying, oh, I'm going to protect you, baby. Don't you worry about a thing. And she's just like, okay, thanks. Hey, I think I see somebody outside. Maybe you should go check that out. And he's like, okay, yeah, I got it. I'm on it. And jumps out the fucking window.
Like a boss.
Yep. And it's Meryl and Millie outside just kind of hanging out, Millie, thinking that they're going to be looking. They're trying to do their own due diligence as bodyguards and patrol the perimeter. They run into Vash and he tells her, like, hey, I saw somebody out here, or the girl saw somebody out here. And Millie says, oh, maybe it was some of those spooks that you saw earlier.
So funny.
Yeah. And so they're like, all right, let's go inside and check it out.
And so funny, as soon as she said that, he's like, spooks? Like,
right.
Spooks, yes, exactly.
100%.
I know. Go ahead, please, progress it.
Well, they head inside, and she's not in her room anymore.
Nope.
And nobody's in their room anymore. The old man's missing.
Her, yeah.
The girl is missing. They're just like, what the hell is going on here? And then Meryl, for being kind of dense when it comes to Vash, is the first one to start putting stuff together as far as this goes, that this girl is not all that she seems.
Yeah.
Something is going on.
Yep.
And puts it all together with the evidence that's been laid out that, hey, this is... She's probably the person that's been trying to go after this guy. Obviously, she's got some sort of issue with him.
Yeah.
She's the one that's going after him.
Mm. And so
they start going through the house.
And they find that the curtain that we talk about with that pulley thing,
yep.
they accidentally stumble into, like, she falls into it, grabs it, and then it opens up a doorway.
Vash
down to a hallway.
Does. He flips over
it. That's Vash. Yeah. Yep. He flips over the couch and grabs it and pulls it down.
I by quote-unquote accident.
By quote-unquote accident.
Yeah, I thought that was so cheap. But then now that you know he does everything on purpose.
He knows. Yeah. His hyper-awareness of his hyper-situational awareness is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But either way, they go down there, and they find a hostage situation pretty much where the old guy had captured the woman.
Yeah.
Because he was just like, I see you us up in here being, she's like a marshal or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she's got her tin star on. She's got her badge. And yeah. I mean, before they came downstairs, she did have a gun on him. And yeah. It's just like, hey, you know, what the fuck? Like, this isn't good. You know, I'm coming to take you in.
Yep.
You've been monopolizing this. We see down there, he does have this whole operation. He's been hoarding
so
the water.
So much water down
it
there.
And keeping it from everybody.
Yeah.
And knowingly that he can make a fucking fortune off of it.
Yeah.
And he admits that this guy is the villain.
Yep.
So he does turn the situation around on her and gets the drop on her, and he's got her tied up and as a hostage.
Yo,
situation.
Side note: one of the hardest hits I've ever seen in any anime was when he slapped her with that gun.
He hit her hard. Yeah.
He slapped the shit out of her with that gun. Like, I jumped back for how hard I was. Like, yo, this is so, like, in the face. Okay, that's all. I'm sorry.
Mad disrespectful.
Bruh.
Gun bucked her.
Yeah, it was pretty serious. Yeah. But please, I'm sorry. That was a moment.
So Millie, Meryl, and Vash are all kind of standing up there watching this all go down. And Vash is like, all right, cool. I'm going to get the jump on him. And immediately just, like, tumbles down a fucking waterway and draws all the attention to himself. Which, again, seems like a stupid thing to do.
Yeah.
But then while he's got the attention on him, that allows Millie and Meryl to kind of sneak around and get the drop on him.
Yeah.
So while this is all going on, the dude pulls his gun on him and has Vash at gunpoint and fires his gun. But Vash uses his very quick dodge speed, gets out of the way, and the dude hits some sort of
coil
or some explosive shit down in his basement. And it becomes very apparent things are about to blow very quickly.
Yes.
So they all get the fuck out of there. And as they do that, the dam breaks and the water just comes out and turns this entire water-starved place into a fucking lake.
Yep.
And as the sun's rising, they're standing on top of this this I guess a ridge, looking down at the town, which is completely underwater. Which they feel pretty they're pretty optimistic about it. This woman who's the marshal all along, she reveals that this is the town that she grew up in, and you know, she's there to avenge the people that have been driven out and been starved because of this guy hoarding the water. And she's like, in a while the ground will absorb it, it'll be fine, I'm not worried about it,
everything will be fine,
it'll be cool. Vash says, all right, great job, well done, I can't really hang around with a law person, so I'm gonna go, and takes off.
But he also like tried to like do one last little hit on her kind of thing, and she was like, if I was Vash, what would you do? She was like, I would arrest you. And he's like, ah. He dipped out, and she was just like, yeah, I was kind of into him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
Meryl's not having it.
Meryl is not having it at all.
Yeah.
Meryl is all about that Vash dick. Let's just keep it real.
Oh, for real.
She's a chick that plays the I hate you game.
It's people that hits you in the playground and runs away.
Exactly. She's in love right now. She's so turned on by this dude.
It's real.
It's oh my God.
But I did like the ending of that episode. Like, it was actually kind of like a happy ending, and then Vash being hilarious, I thought it was pretty funny. So episode 3, can I start episode 3? I like episode 3.
Start it up.
All right. So episode 3, I actually don't remember the very beginning of it, but I do remember is that Vash was like walking, and there's this guy that like, it starts off. Actually, I remember there's a guy begging for alcohol in the bar.
Yes.
So he's begging for alcohol in the bar. Nobody helps him out. He kind of gets kicked out, but he smiles to himself when he gets kicked out for some reason.
Yeah.
So that's the beginning, little vignette. And then it starts off again, Vash coming into the town. He sees this guy begging, kind of thing, and like the guy literally like tackles him. He tackles him and then proceeds to molest him.
Straddles him, humps him.
It was kind of like that Samurai Champloo when Fu accidentally quote unquote bumped into that dude and he dropped the pot and he's just like, oh shit, well I guess you gotta come work in my whorehouse now. But at least he didn't get that sort of treatment. He's just like, oh, you gotta come buy me a drink. So he gets off easy, I guess, as far as those things go. And he's just like, the guy does wrestle him, and while they're wrestling around, Vash sees Millie and Meryl off in the distance.
Screams for help.
Yeah, they keep just running into each other.
Yep. Well, and actually, just before this, before Vash runs into her, runs into the drunk, the episode starts with Millie and Meryl having lunch or eating, and they see Vash walk by, and Millie just decides to try something. She goes, hey, Vash. And he turns around and goes, oh, hey, what up? I'm like, kind of keeps going on. She's like, that's Vash the Stampede. That's the dude we're after.
Yeah.
He just answered to his name. And Meryl was like, ah, no, that's just because you waved at him.
Yeah,
no.
It's like you just yelled it at him. So, you know.
I feel like Meryl's street smarts is kind of there and then kind of not. Like, because that's something that I would feel like if somebody just goes, they say that to you, you're just not going to respond. If somebody goes, what up, Brennan? And I'm walking by, I'm not going to respond to that.
No, I think Meryl has no street smarts. She's like a book smart person.
Sure.
And Millie's all about the streets. She's just like intuition. Just like, yeah, like, you know, this is him. Everything's cool. I'm going to drop this gun at this perfect time. Like, yeah. She just seems to be able to just assess the situation well.
Side note, too, I hate those type of drunks that are touchy-feely, grab up on you.
It's a, you know, that's a lot.
Because a lot of times it's like, yeah, it's like I always feel like the dudes do that a lot. Like, I oh my gosh.
Right, you have friends, like guy friends that are like get really touchy when they're drunk?
Yo, no, I don't have a lot of friends that drink as much anymore, but I did a show one time and then this dude came up to me afterwards. I won't say his name because he's actually a celebrity. And he came up to me and he was just like hugging me. He started kissing me on my cheek. He's like, bro, you're just so amazing. Blah, blah. I was like, hey, man, all right, you seem like you had a lot of alcohol tonight. He was
right.
Just like, man, just like he kept hitting me in my chest. And he damn near tried to tap the lower region. I was like, all right, bro, you need to step back a little bit.
I'm gonna get his name after this episode.
Oh, I'll tell you who it is afterwards. But like, yo, I don't like the touchy feely type of drunks, and then the aggressive fighters, like they just want to fight everything. And this dude right here is a touchy feely type, man. I'm just like, oh,
I'd rather
gosh.
Take the touchy feely over the fighter any day of the week, though.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, I guess.
You guess?
Because the fighter's not going to be able to fight well. He's drunk. Just punch him one time.
Some of them are good at fighting, though.
Drunk?
Man. Yeah. I've seen some brawlers.
Some drunken masters. Yeah.
All right, one note that I had is, first of all, I think that the set design, I can't call it the background design of the show, it looks like it's all watercolor to me, and it's beautiful. Like, I think it's absolutely beautiful. Like, the backgrounds of the show are straight up art. Like, somebody was like commissioned just to do these backgrounds and did it in watercolor. Mm. And I think they might have done them by hand because it looks amazing.
I'll definitely have to pay more attention to it. But thinking about it now, I feel like they definitely put a lot of good work into this. I remember watching Yu Yu Hakusho thinking like, oh, this is just in the dark because they wanted to cut some stuff.
Yeah.
You see it a lot where you'll see a lot of recycled framed or reused stuff.
Yep. This show is not like that.
No.
Not at all. There's not a lazy moment in the show when it comes to like how they put it together. But we're here. We're in this town. The guy's on top of them.
And they're wrestling. And finally, Vash says, okay, cool. Like, if he called out to help from the girls. They left him high and dry.
So hard.
And he's just like, all right, fine. If it'll get you off me, I'll buy you a fucking drink. Like, let's just go. So they're in the bar. And the woman behind the counter is just like, hey, listen, I don't want any trouble. If you want a drink here, you got to give me your gun. And you got to watch out for this dude.
Yep.
You're responsible for him. And he's just like, yeah, all right, cool. And as they're talking, they kind of start talking about this gunsmith that, you know, used to live in this town.
Yo, the backstory for the gunsmith is so tragic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because and we see that Vash came into this town looking for this guy, but a tailor that he had run into in the town before is just like, he's a miserable fucking drunk. He's not even
can
who
I,
he
can
was
I give
anymore.
The backstory?
Yeah, give it a
okay.
Up.
All right. So first thing is that he's the hero of the town.
Yeah.
Because there was like bandits that were just continuously raiding the town, and he was like this really, really good gunsmith. And what he did is he went around and he gave guns to everybody for free to defend themselves, and they were able to run all the bandits out to the point now that the mayor of the town doesn't even have a sheriff because they're just like, we don't need one.
Mm. Yeah.
And then a problem that happened after that is that there was somebody who ended up doing some form of robbery in that town.
Yeah.
At a bank, and his wife and daughter were at the bank, and they both got killed by this, pretty much this guy just randomly shooting into the bank. And he found out that he had personally given the guns to the killers of his daughter and wife that he made.
Yeah.
So it just pretty much put him into a spiral. So now he's pretty much just a drunk, and he doesn't even like, he doesn't care.
What do you think happens that with that though? Like, if you give, like, even our society now with gun laws, right? Everybody's being real strict. Like, what do you expect to happen if, like, you give everybody guns? Because we're calling him a hero, but would that be a hero if somebody did it now for us?
I mean,
us?
His idea was that he's giving all the guns to all the responsible people, but obviously he didn't judge that correctly.
He gave guns to everybody. It wasn't responsible people. He didn't say, yo, responsible people get guns. Everybody got a fucking gun.
He didn't give them to the bandits. The bandits got pulled back. They just created more bandits, though.
Yeah. Well, because the people that ended up doing the bank robbery were people that he had given the guns to.
And they probably were nice at first. Yeah. It's like, so when you get somebody power, they're like, yo, I want more power. And they probably just turned into bandits. They probably weren't bandits at first.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it was a tragedy, like you said, Brennan. And as he and Vash are drinking and this story kind of comes out of him, he's just saying, you know, I used to be a guy that wanted to help people. And after I've seen what I've seen, I'm just going to let shit happen. I'm just going to sit here and drink.
I'd also like to point out this portion of the podcast was brought to you by the NRA. Thank you. please continue.
So meanwhile, just outside of town, there are some bandits that are saying, hey, we know this town doesn't have a sheriff. There's going to be an armored car coming with a bunch of double dollars for the bank tomorrow. Let's roll up into town. We'll say we're Vash the Stampede and rob this whole place.
Get it.
So the next morning, the drunk is wakes up all hungover to people shouting, Vash the Stampede is in town. Mm. He runs outside just to see what's going on, hiding in an alleyway. And he sees that these guys are, they have Million Merrill loading up the back of their car with all the money from the armored truck.
And the reason they do is because they figure out the Vash is in town. They heard the rumor. Mm-hmm. So the leader of the gang is just like, I'm going to pose as Vash the Stampede so nobody messes with me. And, you know, be able to steal it and there won't be any problems. Nobody's going to try to fight me because I'm Vash the Stampede. So the girls thought he was Vash. So they were just like, they went over to probably try to give him donuts. They don't show the scene.
No.
And they end up being kind of kidnapped, but also put to work to be able to load all the money into their car from the armor car, which is just a regular drop top car.
And it kind of makes sense because their whole job as these insurance women is to mitigate and prevent the damage that Vash has been causing from town to town. So if they see this going on and they're just like, all right, cool. Like if we can just load this money in so this guy doesn't shoot up this whole fucking place, that's us kind of doing our job.
And the whole time in the shadows, like you said, in this alleyway is Vash and this gunsmith. And
yeah, Vash pops up out of the trash can.
Literally is in a trash can for some reason. But he pops up out of a trash can, and they're just watching what's happening. And Vash, like, the guy is just like, oh, wow, that's too bad. You know, he wasn't going to do anything.
No. Yeah.
And Vash gets up and just starts, like, walking towards him. He's like, what are you doing?
Because he knows that Vash figures out that this guy's the gunsmith and gives him his gun the night before to fix. And at first he's just like, nah, man, that's not really what I do anymore.
Yep.
But he knows the Vash isn't armed, but he watches him walk up to confront these guys.
And he's like, what are you doing? Why would you do this? And Vash looks at him and says, the situation is not equal.
Yeah.
Which I was just like, ooh, okay, all right, bro, I see you out here.
That was a dope line, too.
It was.
Yeah.
It's like the situation without Eagle. And he walks out there. The first thing he does is he plays dumb, like he's very good at.
Yeah.
Yep. And he has like a, what is it from, have you seen The Kingsman?
Yeah, no, yeah. I've seen both of them.
You haven't seen The Kingsman?
No.
Watched, both of them were good.
Yeah, the first one specifically, especially, was really good.
Yeah.
But either way, Kingsman, one of the things they have is like they can tap their heel on anything and a knife pops out the toe of their shoe, which Vash has.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, he has that. And what he does is he taps it and then he just like kicks the tire of the of the bad guy's car and not only deflates the tire but deflates their entire attitude.
Yeah. Yep.
They took that right to heart.
They sure did.
They took it so hard.
They were so upset about that.
Wouldn't you be though? It's like, yo, all the money's in that car. Now the car
can go. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, that's what it was. They were so lit about it. So he does that and they're just like, all right, we're gonna kill you now.
Yeah. And Vash says, all right, well, I got a gun in my pocket. And, you know, underneath his coat just has the whole, like, finger gun.
Yeah.
I mean, because we know he doesn't have it. And meanwhile, everybody else around, they're just like, all right, well, cool. There's more of us than you. We'll gun you down before you can get even one of us.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this is where the NRA sponsorship comes out because
there's
a bunch of good guys with guns.
Yeah.
Once everybody's got a gun, there's nobody that's an unarmed citizen. I don't know exactly how I feel about the end of this episode, but I guess it worked out here in this fictional universe where all the bad guys with guns, I guess, left town, and it's all these good guys left, and they all pull out their guns, and the other bandits all kind of throw down, are just like, all right, cool, whatever, we give up. But the last dude that's posing is Vash. You know, he pulls out a ton of guns.
Masterful gun. That gun was incredible. Like,
huge.
Just unnecessarily, like, it was a lot.
Yeah. And he's just like, well, I'll take out this whole town by myself, which is when the gunsmith, the drunk, comes up behind him and is just like, I don't think so, buddy. And puts a finger gun to the back of his head and says, you drop it or I'll blow your brains out right now. And
you didn't feel the nail?
I guess
the
not.
The fingernail?
Well, the thing is, like, you just got to know how to do it. You got to just, you know what I'm saying, like, make it like a flat thing. Either way, with all the guns that you just saw all these people have, like, you really going to assume something in the back of your head?
These are all gunsmiths. They should know
a gunsmith. The guy with the Vash, the fake Vash, is not a gunsmith.
They all know their guns, though. That's why they had these dope-ass guns.
I'm just saying, like,
I know skin and metal. I know the difference. But he didn't
put it. I'm just saying, like, I don't know.
This guy isn't as smart as you, Keenan, and he falls for it.
I'm not smart, guys.
Okay. But he's not as smart as you. He falls for it, and he's just like, all right, I'm going to drop it, and he runs. And everybody kind of laughs at him like, what a fucking idiot. Mm. And well, we got our money back. The bad guys are gone. The drunk guy learns his lesson and he kind of pulls the ashes out. He's like, you know what, man, like, thank you for this. You really taught me something. I'm done drinking. I fixed up your gun. Here you go. Man, what was your name after all? I never really got it. Mm. And he's just like, oh, I'll tell you my name. And then he immediately throws up from all the fucking booze he's been drinking.
Well, time throw up.
Yep. So, and that's how that episode ends.
Yes.
Episode 4 starts out with Millie and Meryl coming into town, another town where they have heard Vash has been hanging out. And there's this woman that's been winning some poker games, I think. Mm. She's been running the table, winning
talking
some money.
Talking shit, too.
Talking a ton of shit. And she's like, all right, any other takers? And some guy goes, yeah, I'll play you, but only under one condition, that you bet your life.
Your life, girl. Yeah.
This dude, by the way, I don't know if any of you guys play Overwatch, but this dude looked almost exactly like McCree, the cowboy character in that game. It's like the exact same design.
Nope.
But so the episode kicks back off, and there's a whole hostage situation. The bar has been taken over by this dude and his lackeys. Outside is the town mayor, I guess, and the sheriff. And the mayor is the father of the girl who was winning all the money.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
And she's the main hostage here.
Mm. Yes, she is.
And they're holding her for ransom. And we don't know why exactly yet. But the sheriff is just saying, hey, they're holding her hostage for, I think, $100,000.
Yep.
So they're holding her for someone. She's like, listen, my dad is never going to give you that money. He's this whole, like, don't negotiate with terrorists kind of guy, which is exactly what he says outside to the sheriff. And he says, well, I reached out to some mercenaries, some bad dudes that are going to be coming into town, and they're going to help. They're going to make the situation right. So as this is going on, Vash... with headphones in his ears, just, you know, dances his way up to the bar to get himself a drink. And they're trying to stop him, going like, hey, dude, like, don't go in there. There's a hostage situation going on.
Yeah, he has headphones and he's getting it.
He doesn't hear
the Fortnite-type moves, too.
Yeah, that's nice. He killed it.
Yeah.
And he dances his way in there. And as soon as he gets in the saloon, he's got guns in his face.
Mm. Yep.
This is another one where it's like, I don't know if he knew exactly what he was getting into, but it worked out.
I think he did. No, the thing is, like, there's
he
only.
Always does,
well, first
man.
Of all, he does, because when he's going in, we're missing something. He got shot at multiple times when he was going in. He dodged all the bullets.
That's true.
Dodged all the bullets
with
like
the headphones
he's very good
on.
With the headphones on.
I think he was just.
His situational awareness. Situational awareness.
I think he was just dancing.
Bro,
happened.
Like, you're like,
by chance.
Like, you're just like, bro, there's been like 1,000 coincidences in this show. It's like, no. This guy is like super skilled killer gunman guy who is almost impossible to shoot. And his reflexes are out of this world. And
definitely
you'll learn more about that
control.
Later. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that he goes in, he gets captured on purpose. Because he's like, what's the, like, you got to think about it like this. If this guy has a tragic past of, like, being called this Vash Stampede, has all this money on his head, and for some reason doesn't want anybody to die, that means that he can't be traditionally approaching these kind of situations.
Yeah.
Because traditionally approaching the situation, he comes out with his gun out and takes some guys out. You know what I'm saying? So how do you get inside of this place without getting shot, which he's not able to get shot because he's very good at dodging it, making them think you're an idiot, and then getting side with, like, getting all the way in. He's able to get all the way in with nobody getting shot.
But here's the thing, Brandon. You since you've already finished this, you have the analytics different.
No, but I'm
I
saying...
I feel like I don't know if that...
But what I'm saying, though, like, look at it from that context. Like, the context of, like, I don't want anybody to get hurt, which is the thing. They said it in the first episode. It's like, oh, he left another city with no one unharmed, but the whole city's destroyed. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't hurt or kill people ever.
Yeah.
He destroys all the stuff around him, but everybody always ends up being okay. If that's your rule, if you're like Batmaning this shit, then how do you get in there and do that if you're not Batman? And he does it in every instance. So I'm saying in this one, he does the same thing. Like, he
no
literally,
accidents. Okay,
you know, he dances himself in there, gets in, gets to where he wants to be, and then what happens, Rob?
Well, he gets in there and immediately gets tied up. Meanwhile, outside, the mercenaries do get into town, and we find out and they're a bunch of bad looking dudes. Like, they are armed to the teeth. They look way more gruesome than the dudes that are inside the bar.
A real looking Suicide Squad.
Wait. Yeah. We got to run it back real quick. That the sheriff and the mayor, they know each other. They have history.
Yes.
The mayor is just like, yo, or the rich guy, not the mayor, just the rich guy. I don't think he's the mayor.
No,
he's definitely in charge in town.
Yeah, he's just the richest guy in town.
Yeah,
but either way, he's just like, save my daughter by any means necessary. And the dude's just like, yo, you're not my boss, first
yeah.
of all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally points the gun at him.
That's
like,
true.
Like, you're not my boss. Number two, I got you. It's going to cost you. I'm gonna do it the way I do it. And he's like, well, how are you gonna do it? And he shows him, like, I got these mercenaries. He's like, why would you use these horrible people that Rob just described? It's like, oh yeah, you know, you gotta fast the stampede. You gotta get some people to get them. You know, like whatever. Let's go.
Yeah, the only condition they give is just get my daughter out.
Yeah, I don't care what happens to
everybody else. Yeah, just get my daughter.
And also, the rich guy is also known as being the Grim Reaper.
And this is what we find out from the people in the bar.
Yes.
This is why they're in town, because her dad was a gunslinger back in the day, and that's how he got all his money, consolidated all his powers. He literally ran around like some Red Dead Redemption video game, just shooting every fucking farmer he came across, and just like, well, this is mine now, and just took all of this stuff by the gun. And which, you know, you make a lot of enemies that way.
Yeah.
So, these guys are basically his reckoning. You know, they're showing up saying, we want ours. That's why we took you hostage, because we are owed this money. This guy took it from us. He took it from our families, probably killed a lot of their family members. So we kind of find out that these dudes, a little bit of Stockholm syndrome, you start to kind of get won over to their cause. You find out these guys are just some guys with that are in a time of need. However, not all of them are good. One of them ends up sticking a gun into this girl's mouth.
Yeah.
But their leader's just like, hey, what the fuck? That's not cool. Yeah,
he did it.
Bash distracts him.
Mm.
Yep.
Again, coincidentally.
Yeah.
And distracts him. And then the leader guy grabs a gun and calms him down. But please, what are you about to say,
Ken? I was going to say, he sucked the gun in her mouth. I forgot what it was for, but it was for something so light. And I was just like, this guy, he's the guy that goes over the top. Like, you didn't screen this guy to be part of the crew. He's just a fucking killer.
He's just wanted people to die. Yeah. For sure.
It's like he was the last minute addition to the heist crew. And I'm like, he's always one of those.
Yeah, like, who picked him?
The wild card.
It's like, the guy idiot. Literally stroking the gun. You want to put him and licking it? That's the guy we're going to. It's like, all right, cool.
You staying on the bench.
Yeah.
So while this is going on, they get the announcement from outside, like, hey, your money is coming up. We're bringing up the Brinks truck. So, you know, everybody just get ready to get your money. And the guys inside are getting ready for this to go down. They pick one of their dudes to go out. And
that poor man.
Oh, yeah.
He volunteered. They didn't even pick him. He was just like, I'll do it, boss. He's just like, I'm so eager to please.
So he runs out there and... in the truck is not some kindly banker with a bunch of money. It's the fucking Suicide Squad that they hired.
He immediately is just like, it's a trap.
It's
tries
a
to
trap.
Run, and they're just like, cat.
Yep, and he gets got in the back. And then that's when all hell breaks loose, and they bust into this place and start lighting everything up.
Yes,
miraculously, nobody gets hit. Vash does insert himself into the middle of it you know, ends up pulling a gun on one of them, and the other guys are just like, well, fuck it, kill him. I don't care. That's, you know, a bigger cut for the rest of us. But while that's going on, he creates a situation where, you know, one dude ends up shooting himself in the foot. Meryl has a little, like, one of those little mini guns and shoots a lamp out, knocks another dude out, and, you know, which is another bunch of kind of quote-unquote coincidences that allow them to get the upper hand over the Suicide Squad mercenary
crew.
Well,
he threw his bullets out of his gun, and it hit somebody in the face or something like that on accident. Well, I thought it was on accident, and then that whole situation happened. But it was so... I don't know. And then she got them little-ass guns. It just reminded me of fucking Harlem Nights, or Arsenio had that...
Oh, yeah.
Stop shooting that little motherfucker!
It's a nice gun. I like the way she doesn't reveal it in this episode, next episode, I think, but... You know, her guns, the way she has them in her coat.
Oh, no, it comes up later in this episode.
Oh, it's later in this episode. Okay.
Because they basically get the people that had created, that have this hostage situation, McCree and his crew, they bring them outside and say, all right, listen, here's what we want. Basically just to duel this dude. You know, fuck all the money. Like, this is a blood feud between me and you. You killed our families. You have to atone for this. So he challenges this old gunslinger to a duel, and the hostage taker, McCree, it's a tense situation. The daughter's there. The father, I think, sort of feels bad for what he's done, but also realizes that he did do it and needs to answer for this shit.
Yep.
He says, all right, we can do this. But he's definitely not in his prime anymore.
No.
You know? So they draw down, and McCree gets the jump on him. I mean, he shoots the student. At first, it looks like he's dead, but...
Shoulder.
It's just a shoulder wound. He's like, I can't...
A lot of shoulder shots in this show.
Yeah. He's like, I can't kill this guy in front of his daughter. Meanwhile, the sheriff, who's been waiting for his opportunity, you know, basically pulls out, has all his dudes pull out all their guns. It's just like, all right, well, fuck it. This guy's in a moment of weakness. We're going to take all the money, take everything, consolidate power here. I'm going to run this fucking town now. And that's when Meryl busts out her fucking cape and brings out all her guns and just starts shooting all that shit out of these guys' hands.
That moment was dope.
Yeah, and what's the name new? Vash knew.
Yeah,
Vash knew she had that, so he set her up to be able to like be. He set her up to win.
Yeah. Because she was like, "How'd you know I had a gun?" He was like, "I seen when you were in the when we were in the bar."
And he said, "I always know the smell of grease and gunpowder."
Yeah, which is, I think, one of the first sort of hints that we get, other than the dodging, that this guy knows more than he's let on.
This is what tipped me off more. But then also, I didn't like y'all said her scene was dope. The gun scene, I thought it was. I was like, you got all these guns and they only shoot one bullet.
Yeah, that was whack. But I'm just saying the way she that was whack. The way she revealed them. The way she revealed them was fine.
It was dope as hell. But I was like, when she started pulling and shooting one, I was just like, all right, this is stupid. This is dumb as hell.
It's a little impractical, but it kind of looks cool.
Yeah. Oh, and the jacket, it was fire. I was like, oh, she about to light.
She did light some dudes up.
Yeah, she did.
And Millie, she used her gun a little bit too. It was like
the capture things.
Yeah. She had some capture rounds and bounced some dudes up. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, they got it in.
And the episode ends with them forcing the sheriff to say it was a world full of love and peace. Which is a hint of more things to come.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
that brings us to episode 5.
So that brings us to episode 5, where...
how does he know this? Like, if you were like, Brennan, what is episode 5? I'd be like, you know, I watched it today.
He starts going. Yeah, we watched it right before, and it was just like...
I'm literally watching it before... Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, Rob.
So they're in a bar, and there's a little kid talking to his mom. It's like, Mom, I want a real gun, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She's like, Mom, I want a real gun. You know, why can't I have a real gun? And it's just like, all right, this kid's a little weird. But I mean, I guess back in the day, everybody wanted one. But so Vash is kind of listening to this and kind of smiling to himself. Meanwhile, another robber kind of comes into the place and holds it up. Vash, again, inserts himself in, grabs the little kid's gun, and shoots this dude right on the nose with the... It shoots all the dudes that come in there, mm-hmm. and shoots him up with the little dart gun, and tells him, hey, listen, I could have killed you if I wanted, but, you know, let's just... Why don't you guys get out of here, and we'll just consider that this never happened.
Yeah.
So, and then he gives the kid his gun back, and it's just like, it seems like you got a good enough weapon for right now.
Yeah.
And they, of course, thank him and, you know, give him a big old pile of flapjacks and tell him, hey, that's crazy. You weren't able to, you know, you were able to defuse that whole situation without firing a single bullet. And he goes, why would I shoot a bullet when that, you know, that's, you know, the cost of some good pancakes. And they're all kind of laughing. They go, ha, 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 ha. So listen, Vash, we got to take you in.
Yeah.
And
then
right? They all pull out their guns.
We need that $66 billion, bro. Double bill.
And he's just, well, you know, what the hell? I thought we had a good thing going. We were eating some pancakes.
Things were good.
And they're just like, hey, our town's broke. Like, real, real broke. They have a power station that's on the outside of town. The town is kind of in ruins. It's a dying city. It's kind of in disrepair. And they're saying, we got to bring a crew of people to come here. And we just can't afford it. There's no other industry here. Mm. So... we got to capture you because we need the money, dude. We got to bring these people in to save our town and save the people that live here. And Vash says, well, I understand that, but I got to go and leaves. And the whole town is like kind of like the other town that he was in before where everybody's got a gun. Everybody's got a gun. Just grenades, bazookas,
everybody.
Missile launchers, Gatlin guns, everything. They're all busting it out. And while all this chaos is going on, I mean, and this to me is just sort of like, is Vash causing the chaos where he goes?
That was like, I wanted to do like a little recap at the end, but you just hit on something that I was thinking the whole time.
Or is it the people that are hunting him that are causing all this shit?
Exactly.
And he's just doing what he can to save all the people.
He's literally done minimal damage himself.
Yeah, he really hasn't even fired a single shot at this point.
Yeah, 5 episodes in.
And for a gunslinger.
Yeah.
While this chase is going on, it cuts to later on. The mayor's got his head in his hands. His whole fucking town is in disarray. It sounds like a war zone. And this dude says, hey, it's been 4 hours. We still haven't caught him yet. There's people wounded, but wounded from friendly fire because he hasn't fired a single shot yet. We don't even know where he is. What the fuck is going on?
Right.
And they're like, okay, cool. This sucks. We got to bring in the reserves. We got to go to the last resort. So they bring in... This weird, I don't even know whether to call him a like family.
Like the
father and son duo.
Yeah, the father and son. They kind of remind you like Frankenstein.
A little bit, yeah, for sure. It's this giant dude That definitely looks like he's had some strange body modifications made to him, probably by his mad scientist father who just rides around in his little fucking pocket.
So messed up.
Kind of like a One Punch Man type thing with his brother. And
Yeah. His dad, who does all the talking, has got about, you know, 5 teeth in his whole mouth.
And yep. loves to talk.
Loves
He's a talker. He's yeah. definitely a talker.
And he's telling him, you know, hey, we can solve this problem. No, we can solve this issue. No problem. Just we'll find Vash. We'll just do it our way.
Yeah.
And while this is going on, a little girl kind of comes up and says, hey, we got Vash. Mm-hmm. Come over this way. We can show you where he is. And then we cut to Vash to see how he got captured. He was hiding out in this building, and a bunch of women got the drop on him. And they explain, I think that's when they explain, hey, this is our situation. We don't want to be doing this to you, but we need the money.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, listen. And again, this is where we sort of get, I think, the first, you know, breadcrumbs for what is going to be the overall story.
Yeah.
He says, you know, something along the lines of, I can't come with you right now. I can't stop until I meet him again.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines. And he says, I don't want to shoot you. And while this whole Mexican standoff is going on, a huge fucking fist flies into the goddamn building and brings the whole thing down.
Those fists are dope.
These villains have been having some dope weapons. Dope, big old boomerang, big old fists.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
So the building collapses on top of him, and we see, of course, that it's the big dude and his fucking stupid-ass father outside, and they're saying, you know, Vash, at first they think, well, he's got to be buried in the rubble. This is over.
Mm.
But, of course, Vash emerges totally unscarred, unmarked, unhurt, and he starts pulling people out of the rubble, trying to save all these women.
Nice guy.
And they allow him to save the women. They give him that, at least. And he's kind of standing up at these guys. And this is the first situation where, you know, Millie and Merrill are standing there, and they're again insisting, Merrill at least, that that's not Vash. That's not who you're going after. I know who that guy is. It's not Vash. But this is the first instance where we kind of see this dude turn. Mm-hmm. You know, this is that, I don't know if this is necessarily an apt comparison, but like that Master Roshi turn where you see this very silly, very sort of foolish character.
That's a really good
take a turn comparison. Where it's just like, no, I mean fucking business when I want to.
Yeah.
You know, and they draw him all serious. Like he is not, he's not here to play games anymore.
Yeah.
Because now these innocent lives are in danger.
Yep.
And, at first, he's saying, you know, I'm not going to give myself up. And I think they fire some shots at him, but they can't hit him.
Yeah.
And he says, all right, fine. Well, we can't hit you. I know some other people that we can hit. And they aim the fist over at the women that are over by the side.
Oh, Jeebus.
But they fist him.
They're about to give him the whole fist.
So because before they shot it, they just shot it. And this time he spun it to shoot it. And he's like, we're going to make mincemeat out of the people.
Yeah. And he shoots that thing.
He shoots it. Vash, slow motion scene.
And Vash goes into, you know, Red Dead Redemption bullet time and shoots a bunch of shots into this fist. Enough so that it redirects the fist and it crashes into another set of buildings.
And makes the guy with the fist cry.
And finally shoots the goddamn gun.
Finally. We see this thing go.
But the dude is, the big dude that shoots the fist, you can tell he's kind of a little bitch at the beginning. Because remember, he steps like on a car, he steps on something and hits him like in his knees. Like, oh, he starts crying.
Oh, yeah,
at the beginning.
Stubbed his toe and his dad's just like, who put this car here?
Yeah, who did this?
So, out on the street, not on the curb.
So the sun's pretty soft anyways, but fast forward back. Go ahead.
So Vash has saved these women, and the guy retracts, or he doesn't retract the fist yet, but the father's just like, all right, now what are you going to do? I got my big-ass son here, and you're out of bullets. He goes, actually, I got one more bullet left, and it's a special one.
Yeah.
He slams it in the gun and shoots it up this dude's fucking arm hole or whatever.
Crazy.
And sends it, and that's the end of him.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
One
shot killed this dude by shooting him in the arm.
Yeah.
The dad is still kicking, but he's just...
He's powerless, pretty much.
He's got nothing going on for him. And that's when we get another dose of, well, this is a world of love and peace.
Yeah.
Love. He did like a little finger peace. Or whatever he does.
Yeah,
like
I don't know. I was like, how do they do? They don't do like the regular, like,
double joint.
It's like your two fingers, like, hug.
Yeah. You can't it's do like that? You're crossing
you
your fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is a little double jointed.
But they got the whole thing, like, it's drawn.
It looks
weird.
Yeah, it's drawn weird. Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
Hands are the hardest thing to draw, by the way.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But this episode, I will say, ended sort of weird because it was just like, you think that, I mean, the big guy got brought to justice, and the old man, obviously, he's not as powerful as that dude, but you don't see him get locked up or anything.
Nope.
They just start shouting love and peace in his face and then cut to credits, which I was thinking to myself, well, that was sort of an abrupt ending. But they bring up the next episode. They're still in town. Vash is a fucking hero.
Yep.
Meryl and Millie are now just like, okay, this is Vash.
Yeah, finally.
And they tell him, hey, it's our job to babysit you 24/7.
And make sure everybody understands they need to stay away.
Yeah. They start walking through the streets with him going like, everybody make way. Here comes Vash Stampede. And
a little sarcastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he doesn't like this at all, of course, because, he's been trying to like.
Well, he knows. It's like, as soon as people find out, everything's going to be destroyed.
Well, if you got a $60 billion double dollar bounty on your head, you don't want somebody shouting your name walking through the streets. Mm. You know, you're trying to probably play it low key. So, he's not loving this at first. A situation arises where some kids kind of jump out and are just like, hey, Vash, and start shooting their little pop guns at him. And he dodges behind
both girls and they get lit.
Yeah,
they do. And while they're kind of yelling at the kids, they turn around and Vash is gone.
Yep.
But while this is going on, I thought this was a pretty cool piece of world building. They call it like a humpback steam liner.
Yeah.
This giant train. Fucking train.
So big. It's like bigger than the whole town.
Yeah, it's huge. And this is the, I forgot to mention that they do resolve the last episode a little bit. They talk about they turned in the big dude and his dad for their bounty, which was 700,000.
Yeah. And then they show him at the end of the episode kind of powering up like a little generator thing or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a little bit.
Yeah, they paid for part of the. They had a plant in the town. They paid for part of the repairs of the plant.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's what they needed. They needed the money to bring the engineers into town to repair the plant.
Yes,
because the plant was out of commission,
and the train came with the engineers.
Yes, so the train was bringing in the engineers to fix the thing.
Yep.
So while the engineers are getting off, it's not just the engineers. Their leader is this beautiful woman that literally causes a traffic accident as she's walking off this fucking thing, and a bunch of dudes start coming up to her trying to talk her up and tell her like. Hey,
oh, one of my favorite like background things ever. But please continue.
But they're scared off by this big freaky bodyguard that she's got walking up with her. So she walks off to go to the power plant, which is where Vash is hiding out from Millie and Meryl. This giant decrepit power plant, which is what's caused this place to kind of fall apart. This is what they're there to fix. So this woman shows up there and says, oh, hey, like, you must be Vash the Stampede. She knows immediately who he is.
Oh, yeah. Like, not even like a moment.
Yeah. And he's also immediately smitten with her and proposes to her on the fucking spot.
First day.
First minute.
She was fire, though. She's bad.
I mean, she's got the dress. She's showing all the cleavage.
Yeah.
She's got the works going. She knows what the image she's putting out there.
Yeah, and she knows what he wants. She knows exactly what he wants.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
Because she says, oh, yeah, well, I mean, that's very nice of you to ask. Maybe we can address that after you just do this one thing for me. Hey, I'm in town to fix this place. Maybe you can be my bodyguard while I'm around here. But we've already seen that she has a bodyguard. Yeah. And in the shadows, this dude is fucking watching this whole back and forth go down.
Yeah. And so he ends up becoming her dog. Like, she calls him Spot. The girls find him. We find out that Meryl's jealous than a mug.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's super jealous. And she takes him, like, let's go back to my hotel. And he's like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And they go back to the hotel. And it's just like, oh, okay, we in his hotel? And she was like, yeah, not in my room. Puts him in his, she puts her, gives him his room. And the moment he steps in, he does the serious face.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's just like, shit's real. And as soon as he did, you see this guy in like a, I don't know, like a ninja guiding.
He looks like Vega.
So yeah, like Vega with like swords, like knives on his hands and legs and stuff.
It's like, yeah, Vega combined with one of those like cyborgs from Mortal Kombat 3 with like kind of the fake dreads or whatever coming out of the back of their head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like Predator meets ninja.
Yeah.
But either way, the dude starts attacking him. And, this is when it's real for me. It's like, this guy is very skilled who's attacking him.
Yeah.
Knows how to use everything. And Vash is not even fazed.
No.
Like, he's just like, oh, we're doing this. Okay. He's like dancing, dodging, breaks one of his knives, shoots the other knife and breaks it. Then the guy ends up escaping.
No, he tells him, leave or something like that.
Yeah.
He just bounces like, oh, okay, that was easy.
That's kind of easy.
Yeah.
And he drops the bomb as he leaves.
Hey, what's that beeping?
Yeah.
Drops the bomb as he leaves and blows up the whole thing. And it's just like, oh, Vash the Stampede blows it up. The woman who put him in the room is just like, oh, I switched our room numbers. Ha ha ha. You're my bodyguard. That's what we're supposed to do. Like,
And then she one of the coldest things I think we've seen in anime so far. He's just like, hey, my room just got blown up because you just switched our rooms.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe we could share a room. She's just like, I don't know. Looks like you got a bed down there. Good night.
Closes the window. Yeah, that was rough.
He could have slept on the couch.
Yeah, he could have gave him something.
Yeah, on the bed in the grass.
He's harmless, man. Yeah. You can get that stampede.
He's not harmless at all. He's definitely not harmless. But I
get that stampede.
So the next morning, the insurance girls show up to do their... they're brokering, they're whatever they got to do, and they're annoyed to find
claims.
Out. Of course, this is Vash that was involved in this fucking scenario, and they're like, we got to talk to him about this.
Yep.
So they go to the plant to talk with him. He's there with the woman as they're trying to get this place back online. And while they're in the middle of talking about it...
she grabs him.
There, a situation starts to unfold. Mm-hmm. There's some sort of like a meltdown going on as they're trying to get this thing online, because we find out, and this goes back to what you were talking about earlier, Brennan, that... this whole power plant thing isn't necessarily something that just everybody understands in this world.
Yeah.
Like, it's based on a technology from long past that just a few people sort of get.
They literally refer to it as lost technology.
Yeah. They couldn't rebuild it if they wanted, really.
Yeah. So they don't know what's going on. The woman that Vash is protecting, she even admits it. She's like, I know enough about it to pretty much turn it on, but I really don't know what I'm doing. I don't really know how it works or what it's doing.
Right.
So that's what she's there to do, is like work with engineers to help figure it out.
Yeah. So while they're trying to figure it out, they push some wrong button somewhere and something starts to melt down. And she's just like, all right, Vash, come with me. And as they're running down to the reactor or whatever, he goes in and to check it out, and she closes the door behind him.
Yep.
And locks Vega's him in. There.
And Vega is there waiting for him. So they have their showdown part two, and she's just like, it's all gone according to plan, and phase and starts to like walk out of the back. And meanwhile, he's having his fight with Vega, and I mean, it's kind of a continuation. This dude is really no problem for Vash at all. He shoots off all his fucking blades, nails him to the ground, and slices
hold on a second. Let's rewind that a little bit.
Sure.
This guy attacks Vash. He completely disarms him, and then uses his gun. To pin this man with his clothes to the ground with bullets.
Yeah.
Wow.
Was dope as hell.
Yeah.
This is when I was like, he's a real deal.
Yeah, he's for real. He literally pinned this guy in a position he can't move with bullets in his clothes. And he was wearing tight clothes.
Mm. Yeah.
Didn't shoot him, shot his clothes.
Yeah, this dude, and when he loses the mask, like, he lost all of, like, the air of mystery.
Yeah, he's like, kind of cute.
Just looks like a scared-ass bitch, like, with his fucking mask off. So they're now trapped in this room. And the woman's still on the outside, and he's like, hey, you know, I understand you did this, but you got to let me out of here. You know, this is going to go down right now. And she's like, yeah, I know.
And then she traps him in the room. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you want the money? She was like, no, I want you to die.
Yeah, this like, isn't about the money.
You destroyed my town. You did that. It was your fault. My entire town, my parents, everybody got messed up. Everybody died. Nobody died from what you did, but everybody died for the effects of it, because, you know, one point something, then people became homeless. So you're going to die. So she did pretty much then like closes them in there and then puts it into overdrive. And it's like, this whole thing's about to blow up and you're going to die. Because I know you can't dodge that.
Yep.
Pretty much.
And he's telling her, like, you got to stop this, because not only am I going to die, this whole town is going to get wiped off the face of the fucking map.
Yeah.
So the nuclear reactor is literally overloading at this point. You know, the whole thing kind of opens up some sort of, you know, it kind of reminded me something out of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood when the Eye of Truth or whatever opens up. And Vega's watching this whole thing happen, not really able to do anything.
Yeah, he's still stuck to the ground.
He's still stuck to the ground, and Vash walks up onto the platform, gets very solemn, just very straight-faced, and kind of like opens up, you know, closes his eyes, puts his hands up, and just sort of
surrenders himself,
to whatever the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
Outside, Millie and Meryl are out there going like, hey, where's Vash? The woman comes out and says, he's still in there. He said he was going to try to stop it. And they're like, well, we got to go in there and save him. And she's like, no, like, there's no time. There's no time. So they're all waiting for this thing to blow, when all of a sudden it just powers down.
And Vash comes out.
And out comes Vash. Everybody celebrates. And they're just like, what? He's a fucking hero.
What happened?
And they're all celebrating. And as everybody's going wild, she walks up to him and puts a gun to his chest.
His stomach. Stomach.
And he just kind of says to her, like, I understand. You know?
But I also don't. She's like, you did all this, but I don't remember doing that. I woke up. You know, he's like, all I remember is my childhood. And then waking up in that desolate city that was destroyed. I don't know what happened. Mm. And she's like, why do you have to be Vash? Why does it have to be you? Why does it have to be you. Yeah. In the sense of, like, you get the feeling that she really liked him and could tell his authenticity.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, it's like, you still need to die because you're the one who's responsible. It was like a, it was a real moment there.
Well, yeah. Even so, she remembers, because this all happened. I mean, it's kind of interesting. This is kind of another creepy thing that they do in anime a lot. I know they've done this on other couple shows we've watched where, or it was specifically Afro Samurai, where, like, this little girl character that somebody knew from back in the day now becomes this, like, hot woman, and then the main character's, like, trying to sleep with her.
Yeah.
It's a little weird. But in that moment, when she was a little girl and everybody, and she was alone and orphaned and everybody was dead, and this man, like, comforted her and helped her and saved her, and as Vash is standing there and hugs her as she's breaking down, why did this have to be you, she realizes that it was him. And she just collapses and breaks down, and that's where it ends, is the two of them kind of having this moment of, I mean, and this is, we also find out that not only she doesn't know who he is, Vash doesn't really know who he is either.
Yeah.
And is kind of going through this world on some sort of mission that we've just sort of begun to understand. Mm. And we don't really know what his ultimate mission is at this point.
And I'll say this, like, to like, I guess if I give my little recap of it, is that that's what this episode would lock me in now. Because one through four, I was kind of like, all right, this is going to be a long 20-something episodes for me.
I actually wholeheartedly agree with that. I, through the first four episodes, was kind of like, this is going to be another kind of Samurai Champloo thing where it was
don't
sort of...
Don't you ever speak badly about Samurai Champloo.
I knew you were going to do that.
Don't you ever speak. Okay, look, I wasn't there for those episodes. I got real beef with y'all. I haven't listened to them yet. I don't care.
But, okay, well, I'll listen.
We'll talk about that afterwards, yeah.
But here's what I was going to take away from it, that this was going to be an episodic show that wasn't really going anywhere. Mm-hmm. There wasn't really any larger story that they were building towards. This was just going to be this character kind of wandering from town to town, just dealing with an episode that didn't really relate to anything else that happened,
like,
in
Scooby-Doo
the further
kind
episodes.
Of thing. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I'd like to point out, do you remember when you first told me what we were watching? Do you remember my reaction?
I remember you were really excited.
Yeah,
and I was like, why? When I was watching this, like, why the fuck was Brendan this excited? Because this shit right now is low key trash. Like, when I was watching, I was like, this is not that good. And I'm like, this is a Samurai Champloo part two. I'm with you. I'm 100%. I know Brendan's grabbing his lack of hair right now, a little upset, but that was how I felt. I was like, this is,
how are you gonna ever joke on me having lack of hair?
I'm the same.
You have the same haircut.
Yeah, I know. Mine is receding right now. I got to shave it. But that's how I felt the first four episodes, and then about, I think episode five and six is where I was like, all right, because I was like, there's no story. The story's not good yet. I was like, I don't know shit about him.
No. So one thing I will say is a precursor that can lead us out of this episode or this our podcast for today. I think is that one thing that I remember is that I watched this show when I was like 11, 12, 13. And I remember that I could not comprehend the concepts that were all presented by the end of the show. I remember it just became so much that I was like, I like it and I really like this character, but I truly don't know what just happened. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, that's what I got excited about. It's like, I'm actually going to understand the show now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to get it because I liked it, but I just didn't know what I liked.
These last two episodes, and I was saying this to Brennan because he told me today that he hadn't seen the last two. I was like, actually, these last two are the only reasons why I'm excited to keep watching this show.
We're in agreement right now, yeah. Rob, 100%.
Yeah.
And my thing is with Brennan, since he's watched this already, he still has like some indication of what happened. That's why he's so excited. But I want to know, if this was a blank slate and he watched the first six episodes, would he be this amped still?
I will, because I like silly characters that get shit done. I've always liked that. So
I don't like over the top silly, because he was a little over the top silly for
but
me.
He's actually funny. Like, I don't like silly where it's not funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's actually pretty funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's pretty funny. Like, anime characters a lot of times go for funny and they're not.
True.
And it's like,
very, very true.
He's entertaining. It's not like you just watch him, you're like, he's annoying. Like, it's never really a thought you have.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, he's funny. He's just like, yo, this dude literally just fell into this bar. Like, you know, it's like, I don't know. I just find him entertaining. And that's not something that I think a lot. Like I said before, a lot of characters, they go for that.
Yeah.
And they can't get it. I think there's a lot of imitators of his personality in a lot of anime that just aren't able to achieve it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess kind of. Because I guess I felt like it wasn't as funny as probably you thought it was. And then there wasn't as much action because he wasn't using his gun. And it's called Trigun. I'm like, yo, we go through four episodes before this motherfucker shoots something.
But he's also like tried and true method. Like, like I told you before in the beginning of the episode, is the guy who is directing this also worked on Dragon Ball. Tell me this guy doesn't remind you a bit of Goku.
Yeah,
you know,
a little bit.
A little bit, but
the happy-go-lucky attitude.
But
you know?
Goku's putting work in on them action streets. He's fighting. That's what I'm saying. In this one,
normally,
like,
he don't even show up to fight for most of the episodes in Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball. Like,
yeah, but I feel like when they introduce him in Dragon Ball, you get a hint. Like when Bulma shows up, you know, they're having adventures. He's having fights right away.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, in the very beginning, the thing that I found entertaining was the giant boomerang. Yeah. And then that he had to slap the thing and destroyed him. Like, you think that was an accident that he just was, oh, what's this?
No. I was gonna say, if you didn't watch, if you don't know the show, at first you probably might you're not thinking that this is him just being a pro, like he's a beast.
Yeah. I will say, after watching the first few episodes, I assumed that he would eventually show that he is capable, that he is a badass.
Right.
I mean, just I don't know. You'd have to be just totally unaware of how storytelling works to just not see that coming at some point.
Right.
I mean, he's on the fucking cover of this thing.
Exactly, yeah.
He's the entire, like, the whole opening sequence is just all him with guns.
Looking like a fucking badass.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to do something. That some wasn't cool enough
of a clue? Well, I guess I was expecting that out the gate. I wanted to see more of that out the gate, and I understand that you can set it up like that. So I'm not mad at it. I'm in. I'm 100% in now after watching these last two episodes, and I know he's a badass because of the stuff he's been kind of slightly doing throughout.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm in. I mean, I would say 1 through 6. 1 through 4 was pretty whatever.
They probably could have lost half those episodes in 1 through 4. They probably could have just gone with 2.
Yeah. I'm with Rob. I don't think Brennan's with us on that.
I mean, I enjoyed them. Like, I'm happy I saw them.
Yeah.
Not like they weren't filler, so I'm good.
So 1 through 6 you're fine with right now?
Yeah, I'm good.
Rob, we're kind of on the same page a little bit.
Yeah, we're on the same page. I like it. I got to a point where I was excited to see what happens next, but there was a time in the beginning I was like, all right, I hope this is going somewhere. That's all. All right. I hope there's an overarching episode that tied all 26 episodes together, not just like, all right, now they're in this town.
There's definitely a storyline.
Well, I want to say, cool. I hate Brennan's face because he knows already. And y'all gonna see.
No, the thing is, I remember bits and pieces. Like, I honestly don't remember the overarching story. I don't.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to find out together.
I hope you guys are watching with us, or please watch with us, Trigun. We're going to do episodes 7 through 12 on the next podcast. Rob, give all your information.
Yeah, I am RVDanger44 on Twitter, RVDanger on Instagram.
Brennan, your information, bro?
Mr. Producer Face on Instagram.
Myself, Keenan Baker, on everything, Instagram, Twitter, everything like that. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Anime Shun.
Keenan's a bitch.
We'll be back next time. Get your bitch ass up, Brennan. Last words. Cut it off.
And so anime was solved forever.